Jesus. Amen. Oh, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Oh, how I love him.
Amen.
How I adore him.
Amen.
My breath, my sunshine,
Amen.
My all in all.
Amen.
The great creator became my savior,
Amen.
And all God's fullness dwelleth in him.
Amen.
Lord. Amen. Amen, saints. So, just been appreciating the conference so far. So we've learned about the all-inclusive spirit, the compound spirit, and today, based on the title, we're looking at the life-giving, indwelling spirit. Let's read outline point one. All right, Roman numeral one. Because God, after completing the work of creation, passed through incarnation, human living, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, and descension, we may speak of him as the process God.
Amen.
Let's open up our Bibles over to John 1:1 and John 14. Brothers, can you open up to John 1:1? And sisters, can you open up to John 1:14? Oh, Lord. Let's see, we're at 20. John 1:1, yes. Shouldn't be that much talking. Oh, Lord. I didn't copy it. Amen. John 1:1. Brothers, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. All right, and sisters, 1:14. Came flesh and tabernacled among us. And
amen.
Amen.
Full of grace and reality.
Amen. And let's pull open 1 Corinthians 15:45b, unless you can already recite it. How many can recite it already? I think we can. Stand up if you know how to recite. 1 Corinthians 15:45b.
Amen.
Last Adam came the life-giving spirit. Amen. Oh, Lord. So, anyway. So, very... All right. So we read John 1:1, John 1:14, and 1 Corinthians 15:45. I think you can already see where I'm going with this. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. Died, resurrected, ascended. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15, 45b. Oh, and then there was one more verse. John 20:22. All right, pull open John 20:22 and let's read that. Yes.
John 20:22. It's your last memory verse on the outline. And when he had said this, he breathed into them.
Said to them, receive the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. So the Lord, he became incarnated, and he lived among us 33 and a half years. 33 and a half years. The infinite God became a finite man, all-powerful creator. You know, he could have just immediately come, I want to enjoy man, I want to be able to get through my process. I'm just going to become man one day and just see what it's like to live in the day of life of man. Well, he wasn't just one day in the life. It was 33 and a half years worth of it. He was a baby, so he had to be cared for by his parents, hopeless, had to be continually fed, clothed, cared for, nurtured. And as a child, he grew up learning about the scriptures, as we saw over in Luke. He also, as implied by Brother Ricky last night, he assumed more responsibilities from his over his siblings. So just thinking about the way we've all grown up to this point. Most of you haven't lived to 33 and a half years old, myself not included. But this means that we have someone that can care for us, someone that knows our situation, knows intimately how to deal with all the situations that come upon us, all the troubles that happen. Amen. But more than that, he went to die on the cross for us, for our sins, so that he could be resurrected and ascend to become the life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
So the end result of this process is that he's all dwelling within all of you.
Amen.
But what was, again, you just reviewed over the all-inclusive Spirit. Can we just go around and just figure out what were the, let's just name again. Actually, let's go back into our booklet and read over the seven spirits as listed in the Bible. It's lesson two. And let's just read the headings again. Starting, amen, with under point six, the humans, that's not it. Sorry, the outline. Talking about the seven spirits.
1A.
Where did I put
1A is the progressive revelation.
Yeah. 1A? Okay. Oh, Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay. One. All right. Sorry, I don't have that one.
Can we just read 1A?
1A, thank you.
We need to see
revelation of the dying Spirit in the Scriptures, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jehovah, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit being not yet, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and the sevenfold intensified Spirit. Oh, Lord. Praise the Lord that all these aspects are now within us. The Spirit of Jehovah. Jehovah meaning I am what I am, meaning that God was the God of promise. Whatever he says, he will do. The Holy Spirit. We can be made holy. We can be renewed and not be in our old creation. Oh, the Spirit of Jesus. As I mentioned earlier, having a human living for 33 and a half years. And finally, the Spirit of Christ, the resurrected one, who's risen above all situations. Oh, I especially like the example of the compound oil that we have over there. But among the four ingredients in there, what seems to be a common thread among a few of them? Does anyone want to take a gander? So we already know we have the flowing myrrh, we have the fragrant cinnamon, we have the calamus, the cassia, and we have the olive oil. What's the common thread for at least the spices? Someone want to, one of the brothers?
Okay.
No, not death. I'm thinking of something else, actually. He said death.
Yeah.
Yes, that's one theme, but actually, yes, I actually want to focus on the fragrance. So the fragrance of the, yes. They're all sweet, but there's a scent to it. And especially with the cassia, it has that repellent power against the insects and, and the other effects. But it's scents. So we have this picture. Not only is this oil applied to all the different instruments within the tabernacle, it's actually it's fragrant. You know, if we apply the Lord every day, that and just, wouldn't we just start becoming more and more smelling like the Lord?
Amen.
Oh, that's what I appreciate, yes. Oh, Lord. Amen. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. How can he be in this otherwise? Why did I take everything out? Oh, Lord. But more so, I want to just talk to you a little bit about how precious it is to know that you have a human spirit.
Amen.
When I was in NYU, I was attending there. I actually decided to go over to Apologetics Cafe. You know, in that circumstance, there are other Christian believers that want to think about the Word of God and answer questions on it. You know, I went into there, and one of the first questions they asked, what is the meaning of human life? And I was just like, oh, I can answer this. The meaning of our human life is Genesis 1:26. Right? But they came to me and said, oh, that's nice, but that's out of context. Where's the logic in that? Where's the axiom? Where's the following on that? You know, I just, hey, man. Oh, Lord. I think I'm oh, Lord. But saints, we have to, not every other, those that are also called Christians, they don't know about the human spirit as in-depth as we do over here. Right. How precious it is to have a person that's gone through so many different experiences that you can just call on, oh, Lord Jesus, amen, and pray his name and receive his life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord. I think I'm looking good.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Great, yeah.
How precious is this? Amen. When we say, oh, Lord.
None. Zero. Zilch. You know, I grew up going to, up until I was like 10 years old, four different churches and four different church meetings every week when I was a kid. Can you imagine? My mom was a seeker, praise the Lord, but she didn't know where the church was. So she took me to four different ones. On Saturday, it was two different ones on the same day. So I missed Saturday morning cartoons. I couldn't watch certain primetime TV shows. I was a very upset young person. And I would come to these churches and I would hear these sermons about how Christ died. And if I didn't receive him, I would go to the lake of fire. And you know, one of them touched me when I was 10. It touched me in a deep way. Right. And I repented.
Right.
And I was saved.
Amen. Amen.
And what I thought was I was saved because of this. This is all I knew. And then at some point, I was going to be in heaven. And heaven is where you play basketball with Michael Jordan and you win, right? So every game I would win, every shot would go in, and everything is gold. The basketball is gold and the hoop is gold. That's it. That's what I thought. And then I was 10. That's what they gave me. That's what I had. You know, unfortunately, there are many people who that's still all they know. Literally, all they know is Christ did this. There was a man who died. But they don't know that this man died in order to become a life-giving spirit.
Amen.
And the life-giving spirit is so that he can indwell you.
Amen.
What? Can you imagine? The infinite God in eternity stepped into time. I still can't, I can't, you know, brother, our brother was talking about this, Brother Roger, about this word awesome, right? It's awesome, it's great, but it's also kind of like there's some fear there. Or wonderful, like you just can't understand. You know, his name is awesome. His name is wonderful. One of the reasons he's awesome and wonderful is because he stepped out of eternity through creation into time. I can't, you know, he didn't just step into time as a man. Like sometimes you think, you know, he stepped into time. No, our brother just shared it. He stepped into a womb. God was in a womb for 9 months. and then born. You know, a lot of people, especially in Catholicism, they speak about this Immaculate Conception, right? This virgin birth of the Virgin, like, you know, she was so holy, she was so great. She was. I'm not taking anything away. But the emphasis on that is that God was born.
Amen.
He incarnated. He became a man and then lived every day for 33 and a half years.
Amen.
You know, in a month, I'll be 33 and a half. I would have lived as long as, amen, right? I made it, praise the Lord. I didn't, you know, anyway, didn't think I would make it, but I made it. But you know, that's actually not that long. It really isn't. I'll tell you why. A brother recently who we know, he passed away. And he passed away at 33 and a half. And all of us was like, our feelings just, Lord, why? So short, you know? But when God incarnates, it was for a different reason. It wasn't just so he can die here and redeem us. If that was it, it would be a sad death. Because that's what happened to this brother. It was sad. And we're still praying and we're just trusting in the Lord. He has his ways, his timing, right? But the Lord did it for a glorious reason, so that he can redeem us, ascend to the Father, bringing humanity into ascension, and then descend as what? A life-giving spirit. This life-giving spirit is so that our spirit, which was deadened, can be regenerated. You know, 1 Corinthians 15:45, our brother had us recite this, right? In the King James Version, it uses the word quickening. It's an old word that means bringing life to, right? For us, we take out the quickening and just say life-giving spirit.
Amen.
It's clear, it's direct. Your spirit needed life.
Amen.
So he had to go through a process in order to give you that life.
Amen.
But it's not just to give you the life and go away. He gives us the life by bringing himself, who is life, into our spirit.
Amen.
You know, our Lord ascended, then descended into this point. This was his goal. So there's a footnote that I really enjoy. I hope we could all turn to this. It's for John 1:1. It's the very first footnote. And I'll just read a portion of it for you all. And this truth, they in Christianity, unfortunately, they do not have it. It's there, it's available. Everyone can get a recovery version. You go to bfa.org, it's a website. Send all your friends there, all your Christian friends. They could have this note, and they could know this. And I'll just read this for you guys. Read along with me. This is John 1:1, note 1. In the beginning, hallelujah, in the beginning.
Amen.
Means in eternity past. A lot of people think in the beginning, they think in the beginning in time. No, this is in eternity past. This is like the beginning, beginning, beginning. Like, there's no in the beginning more beginning than this beginning, right? In the beginning means in eternity past as the introduction to this gospel. This chapter begins in eternity past with God, who had divinity but no humanity. It was at this time that the Lord had this feeling and this desire that's brought forth in Genesis 1:26. He was there in eternity, and he's like, I need a fuller expression. I need a fuller representation. He had a desire born in his heart in eternity past, right? Then we'll continue. It then passes through his creation of all things. In the beginning, right? Then passing through creation of all things.
Amen.
Of all things. We're created beings. Passing through us. This same God who from eternity past, in time, passed through us. His incarnation. His becoming the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. And his being the Spirit who causes the believers to be transformed into living stones for his building.
Amen.
And continues all the way to eternity future.
Amen.
and continues all the way to eternity future.
Amen.
This Lord's desire, when he has a desire, it goes from eternity past all the way to eternity future. Some of you guys desire things you're thinking maybe to senior year of college. Maybe you're thinking to when, probably high school when you guys graduate. Your desire runs that far. His desire goes from eternity to eternity, and it includes all of us. This is why he was processed. A lot of people don't understand that the reason the Lord had to be processed is because of this desire, which we all know to be what? God's economy, right? So I'll go back. And his being, the Spirit who causes the believers to be transformed into living stones for his building, and continues all the way to eternity future, in which the Son of Man, who has both divinity and humanity, is the center for the communication between heaven and earth, and for the union of God and man in eternity. This was the goal. He desired this, and he got it through this principle of incarnation.
Amen.
Now, one of the things that impressed me as I was having fellowship with the Lord is that when he became a life-giving spirit and entered into us, we actually got brought into this principle. Our living is actually just like this. I don't know if you guys know this, but the same path he went through, we're going through. When the Lord was incarnated, he was brought what? Into man. When you received the Lord, God was brought where? Into man. You're now divine and human, just like the Lord Jesus. If we look around, we're all the enlargement of this God-man Jesus. You know, at the time, 2,000 years ago, there was only one God-man. And God did something miraculous. His desire started to be filled. He was super excited. Can you imagine? Like, literally, God spoke from the heavens. This is my beloved. Yeah. Like, this is my, I don't know what it sounded like. You know, I can't imagine. But he did that. That's how happy he was. But then when we come to John 20, 22, and he breathed into the disciples, there wasn't just one. There was now many. Then in Pentecost, there was many more. Now, 2,000 years later, look at us. So many. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know what he still desires? Many more.
Amen.
This is the summer school of truth.
Amen.
This is a divine fact. Hashtag facts. That's what I'm bringing to you guys right now. And what I'm asking you is to bring this to your friends.
Amen.
You know, many in Christianity have experienced this to some degree because they have the Spirit in their spirit. But you know what? They don't know they have the Spirit in their spirit.
Right.
They don't know that this life-giving Spirit indwells them. You know, for so many years I was conflicted. Though I had met with the recovery, I heard these truths kind of. You know, I came on Sunday, servants would say something, we'd kind of listen. You know, I'm not going to call out names, but my class, they like kind of listen to me sometimes. And that's what I would go through. But I knew I had a human spirit, and I could touch my human spirit by saying, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And then I entered into that experience, and it changed my life. And when that happened, I realized, oh, I have to tell my mom about this. Because my mom, who would go to all those meetings, 4 different church meetings a week, prompted by this indwelling spirit, like seeking out this truth, didn't know. So I was like, Mom, you have a spirit, and Christ is the Spirit, and he's in your spirit, and you exercise that spirit, and you get more God. And I'm like, yes, praise the Lord. And she was just like, Christ isn't the Spirit. And I was like, wait, that's not the reaction. I was like, wow, what? No, Mom, he is the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:45b says, the life-giving Spirit. And she said, yeah, but that's not Jesus. I was like, oh my goodness. You were a Christian before I was even born. Now I'm coming to you like, look, we can fellowship about this. You still don't know. You know, I have to remind her consistently, almost constantly if we're praying, to say something about Christ and how he's the spirit in our spirit, and we need to grow. And slowly she doesn't say no anymore. But there still isn't that revelation. You know, knowing this, understanding this is huge, because this is what the Lord is doing in us.
Amen.
He became the life-giving spirit in order to indwell us.
Amen.
But what does that look like in our experience? Many Christians are short of the experience of Christ, but sometimes we're short. So I'll share a small testimony. This isn't actually mine. Brother Charles shared this to our group. So if I made any mistakes, you could find him. I don't see him here. Brother Charles from, oh, he's in the back. Okay. Brother Charles was a Navy cook, right? So the Navy, they have cooks. They got to eat, right? They're on these boats. And this was the most important guy on the boat. Because if you're a Navy guy, all you have to look forward to is what? He said this. Eating. That's all you have to look forward to. So one day at 3:30 a.m., he's in his like bunk. They kind of have these bunks. I actually got to see these boats in San Diego. It's super, you're like this, but like laying down. So just, and it's very narrow. There isn't even much space. But the Lord, the indwelling spirit, woke him up at 3:30. And at 3:30 a.m., this was the thought. I need to make an ice cream sundae. A banana split. At 3:30 in the morning, I need to make a banana split. He woke up. I've woken up at 3:30 in the morning. The Lord never told me to make a banana split or an ice cream sundae. I don't know about you, but that's what happened with him. And then so, you know what? He honored that feeling, and he starts making this banana split. So he goes to the kitchen. Then he goes, he opens up the banana. Then he has to go and get the ice cream, which is like three decks below. And this is for the Navy. So when they have ice cream, we're not talking a little thing of Haagen-Dazs. We're talking a 5-gallon jug of ice cream. So now he has to take 5 gallons of strawberry up, then go back down, bring up 5 gallons of chocolate, go back down, bring up 5 gallons of vanilla. This is 3:30 in the morning, right? So he does all this. After this, what was that? Some pineapples, some whipped cream, 3 cherries on top. Our brother is sitting here and he's now looking at this beautiful sundae. And he thinks, I don't even want to eat this. I just made this banana split. I don't even want it. So he finds someone in the communications area. Yeah.
And there was this guy down there. Uh-huh. And I said, when I looked at this, I said, what did I make this for? I don't want it. So I went over, hey, you want this? Because, yeah, it was like 2.5 weeks later, I found out that he was a brand new Christian. And he was on a military warship in a war in the middle of the night, and those guys were mocking him. And he said, I can ask the Lord Jesus for something. And you know what he asked him for? A banana split.
Amen. Amen. In the middle of a war, on a ship, he prays for a sundae and is brought to him by our brother. The Lord, he does, he's funny. He has a sense of humor, right? But he also operates through what? This principle of incarnation. God became a man to dwell in man, to operate among man for his purpose. Amen. If our brother wasn't faithful to honor that feeling, that Christian who was getting persecuted would not have been cherished by our Lord Jesus. Amen. Many times we have people around us who are going through things, who need to experience Christ as the life-giving spirit. If we don't present the Lord to them, if we aren't faithful in the principle of incarnation to speak Christ into their spirits so they can learn about this indwelling one, all of this process would be for naught. The Lord went through all of that, stepped into time in order to make a Sunday to cherish that one person. What kind of love is this? He was going through something in a war. All he wanted was ice cream. And the Lord gave it to him. But that journey to do that was so that his faith would be strengthened, so that the Lord could get what he desired. His being a life-giving spirit indwelling us is for the fulfillment of his economy. It's beautiful. This is what's wonderful about the Lord. This is what's awesome about him, that he can do all these great things but still be experienced to us in an experience that's focused on a Sunday. A banana split. We have experiences like this. Even you all, sometimes you're in a class and there might be a thought, let me speak to this friend, let me say something to them. That's not your thought. That's the indwelling spirit in your spirit propagating life. Amen. That's what God does in us.
Amen.
We have to allow him to do so. And one of the steps is knowing this truth. If you don't know it, you just don't know. You might have a feeling and you're like, oh, but that's crazy. I don't want to do that. 3:30, I'm not making a Sunday. But if you're in fellowship with the Lord, you know, our brother shared something else. He would make the bread, and when he's baking the bread, he was a baker too. Not just a cook, a baker. He would bake, and then he would put stuff like, oh, Lord Jesus, in the bread, and then bake the bread. And no one complained. Why? Because they loved the bread. It tasted good. But they also saw something concerning the Lord. Now, if you're in this kind of constant fellowship with him, when he wakes you up at 3:30, you make a Sunday. But if you're not in that kind of fellowship with him, he wakes you up at 3:30, you say, Lord, shut up, man, I gotta go to bed. That's what you say. Why? Because you're so in yourself, right? Then he cannot propagate. He can't do what he wants to do, what he desired to do in eternity past, right? So each of us have an opportunity to be a banana split to someone else. There's so many around you. Each of you guys, you can enter into this experience. And you know, there'll be an opportunity for you all to testify. Please share some of these experiences. I'm sure you've talked to a fellow classmate, even a serving one's talked to some coworkers and ministered Christ to them, so that they can experience this life-giving spirit, who becomes an indwelling spirit that can be shared according to the principle of incarnation to propagate this life. I mean, I know that was a mouthful. It's that's how the Lord operates, right? If I could share one more thing, it's this last note. How about we read this together, the last point, point four on the outline.
We have the living Christ. He is what we need and what we have.
Amen.
We must not think that if we offend him, he will leave us. He will never leave us.
Amen.
Oh, he will never leave us.
Amen. You guys, as you're out there propagating this life, you will meet some Christians, some believers, who will tell you that this life-giving spirit who's entered into your spirit will leave you if you do X, Y, Z, whatever they think, right? That is not true. The moment the Lord enters into you, he's one with you. He indwells. Dwell, it means to live. He lives there. That's his home. He desires to make more home in all the parts of our heart. But in our spirit, he's there. He's never going to leave. No matter what you do. Now, I've heard some of the young people say, but what if I commit murder? Is he going to leave? Don't commit murder. Don't do that. You know what? The indwelling spirit within you will say, don't do that, right? If we're honoring the Spirit within us, there are many things we'll never do. If we're not honoring, there's many things we can do, things we never even thought of. So what do we have to focus on? Honoring the Spirit within our spirit.
Amen.
When we do this, the Spirit grows. We come to more fellowship with Him. We have more life. We become this being, this life-giving Spirit in function through incarnation to others.
Amen.
They see us and they see life. That's what the Lord's desire is. It's never to leave you. You know, there was a brother who shared with me, a young brother, who, very young, he's probably 14 or 15. One of his classmates, he committed suicide. The only reason I bring this up is based off the fellowship we had last night, because you guys are experiencing this. Brother Ricky was talking about in college, this guy's in high school, right? So his friend committed suicide, and the feeling he had was, man, if I had said something to him, you know, if I presented the Lord to him. You know, thankfully I know this brother fairly well. He didn't fall into condemnation or what have you. But if that was taken wrong, he could think, oh, I didn't speak to him. Maybe I did something wrong, and the Lord's not with me anymore. No, the Lord's still with you. That's why he reminded you of this situation. And to this brother, what I'd say is never allow that to happen again.
Amen.
Now speak forth this life into so many others.
Amen.
So you'll never have that regret.
Amen.
That regret is the indwelling Spirit. I could have lifed him. But you didn't speak. That feeling is the Lord in you. So anytime you make a mistake, the Lord is there even closer to say, hey, come here. Hey, you didn't say anything. Next time, say something.
Amen.
You can never offend the Lord for him to leave. You can offend him. He'll be sad. He'll be like, why'd you do that? Right? Do you know you shouldn't have gone there? You shouldn't have done that. Let me hold you closer. That's how our Lord is, right? Some believers, thank you, brother. Some believers believe you offend the Lord and he'll leave you, and then you have to woo him back. No, that's not the case. The Lord woos us. He loves us. He's super close to us. Come here. I need to be close to the Lord. The Lord is so near. He's so dear to us, right? Oh, how we love him, right? Sometimes we offend him, yeah? You know what he does? Don't do that.
Right.
I stepped into time for you, right? Remember, that's the Lord's feeling. That's the Lord's heart. I just want to share that much with you guys. So you guys still have some time, right, to prophesy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. He's the life-giving, indwelling Spirit in each one of us.
Amen.
Amen.